In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The heavens declare the glory of God, the sky proclaims the work of his hands. Creation reveals God. We call this the natural knowledge of God. Regardless of what time or place you lived, you can always learn something about God. From creation, we learn that God is powerful, for who else can create something out of nothing? From creation, we learn that God is eternal, for before anything existed, there was God. But the fall into sin has made man obsessed with creation. The ancients fell down in worship of the sun, moon, and stars. Even today, far too many pay way too much attention to their astrological sign, as if it meant something in their life. What is this but worship of the heavens, worship of the stars? For they are our guides. They determine our future. Man preserves nature at all costs because this is his God. This is the something that is greater than he is. This is the thing to which binds us all together. Oh, no one would ever say that, of course, but look at their actions. Look at how they conduct themselves. And it is quite evident. So since the fall, mankind is obsessed with nature. So God said, "You shall not create any images of me in the form of any part of creation." Creation reveals God, but every image man creates from it is always wrong. The problem is not with creation. The problem is with our sinful minds. The natural or the divine word of God is not in our natural minds. So as we peer out at this gorgeous world, a gift from God, we always deify it. We make it something it is not, so that we can be seen as worthy of receiving it. The natural knowledge of God is not enough to lead us to the true knowledge of God. So no images of me, says God, none at all. They're always wrong. They're always idols. They're always something that I am not. Only the Word, only the divine Word. There and there alone I reveal myself most clearly. So we do not seek for God out there in nature. We do not look for inspiration out in the woods or anywhere else, but we find our God in one place, in his divine Word. And today that divine Word is now flesh. Here is the image of God. Here is the likeness of God. Here is the image that God creates for you so that you might know God rightly and properly. He shatters our expectations by his meekness and humility. He shows no strength, though he has created all things. He shows no glory, though those angels fall down in worship before him. He shows no wisdom, though he is the one who holds together the inner workings of the universe. He wears only flesh and blood, not even clothes. Mary has to supply that. No mind could conceive of this eternal plan of flesh and blood, bones and sinews, organs and muscles, atoms and cells. God became physical and concrete. God became part of his creation. We're constantly looking for God out there in nature, in the beauty, the majesty of the mountains, or the inspiration of the woods, or whatever it might be. And so this smacks us in the face against our reason, this tiny, helpless baby. It's not what you expect from God. You expect a beautiful golden calf. Or you expect a mighty lion, a mighty man stronger and braver than 10 lions, a man like Samson, perhaps. You expect a glorious king shining brightly like the stars, perhaps a man like Solomon. We want the glory and the majesty and the beauty of God, and yet God has given us a far greater image of himself than all those things. Spit up and soiled diapers. Meekness and humility. Here is your God in the humble things of this world. Put your newborn in a dog dish, and you know what Mary had to do with her God. Oh, God did not come like this so that you would feel sorry for him. But he came like this because he loved you, and he came to this earth to save you. Only creation, or only his word reveals that. Only the divine word, Jesus Christ, reveals that God is here to save. Nature will never teach you about that love of God. Nature will never teach you about the sacrifice of God. Only the word, only the divine word, so we believe that word. For that word is now flesh, and for God desires communion with his fallen creatures. He is a God who is that cute baby in Bethlehem, but also the man of sorrows, familiar with suffering. He is the God who searches the depths of hell to raise sinners to the heights of heaven. He is the powerless God as he stands before Pontius Pilate, and yet the God who gave power to Pilate. He's the God whose flesh is pinned to a tree. He's the God whose blood splatters the ground below. He's the God who never becomes what you want him to be, but for your sake always remains true to himself. He's the lifeless God of the grave. And so this image of God is lifted up high for all to see, so that all might know that God is love. If you do not find your God in Jesus, if you do not look to that word made flesh for the revelation of God, then you do not know the love of God. And so you really do not know God at all. Many do not recognize him because they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking out there or up at the stars. He doesn't meet our expectations. We want a more worthy image of God than a baby or a dying man. We want nature's beauty, not flesh tortured on a cross. We want to stare in amazement at the heavens, not at his blood steadily streaming to the ground. There's no glory there. There's no beauty there. We have this wonderful nostalgia of Christmas because we all know what it's like to hold a newborn in our arms and the joy that accompanies it. And we all know the pain that accompanies losing a loved one. So we'd rather have Christmas than that man on the cross. We don't mind him too much in the manger, but we don't like him there. That's offensive. That contradicts. And yet that is the reason this child is born. He is born so that he might head to that cross. So we believe not what we think about God to be true, but we believe what his word declares. We believe his word, only his word, for that word is made flesh, so that he might reveal God's love to you in a most sublime and mysterious way. Find your God in Jesus. Find in Bethlehem a meek and humble baby who has come to save you from your sins, and then rejoice in that. For God gave an image of himself in the person of Christ so that you might be restored back to the image and likeness of God. He is born from the Blessed Virgin so that through holy baptism you might be born of God. For that is what you are, sons and daughters of God. Christ becomes one with you in all things, so that you might be made one with him in his heavenly glory. So it is good and right to put our baby Jesus in the nativity scenes, whether here or in our homes, for God is man. It is good and right to craft beautiful stained glass windows, for God is man. It is good and right to have the crucifix front and center as the focal point in our sanctuary, for God is man. Sadly, many Christians are confused over this, but God has made an image of himself, an image of love. So we simply confess that in art. Of course, this is not what Christ actually looked like. That's not the point. The point is to confess a sublime reality. The point is to confess Christmas. God is man forever. And in that flesh of Christ, in that babe of Bethlehem, that man on the cross, in him, our resurrected Lord, we find our salvation. In him and in him alone, the divine word made flesh. So treasure this mystery above all else. Treasure this image of God, that is, Jesus Christ, above all else. Only he reveals God to you rightly. Only he. And yet in love, he doesn't leave you with windows or statues or even crucifixes. But in love, he gives you that flesh born of the Virgin. And he gives you that blood which splattered the ground. He is your meat and your drink. For here, the divine word comes to you in a physical, concrete way, so that you might know that God loves you. And here you know God rightly. A blessed Christmas to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.